closed. He's actually a mathematics professor, resigned his job at the Ohio State University when the Lord called him, a great scholar and expert in the field of mathematics. And he makes use of that when he goes to, when he had the opportunity to go to North Korea to teach in the university. But he is a commended missionary from one of the South Carolina assemblies serving the Lord in Albania. I'm very excited about it. We have gone there a few times before, and they have gospel meetings and follow-up meetings for the new believers. I'm really excited about to meet with the young people for a preaching workshop, as many of the young people who are involved in ministering the word there, they want to sharpen their skill in profoundly expounding God's word. So I will be spending a fair bit of time with them also and visiting some nearby assemblies. Another door also is open. Many of you know about the country of Macedonia. It is not the Greek Macedonia. It is the Republic of Macedonia. And it's only a couple of hours from Albania. So we will be going there also to meet with one of the assemblies. And that will be my first ministry in the Republic of Macedonia, or Northern Macedonia, as it is officially called, even though we have gone there to see the country last time when we visited Albania. So I will request your prayers that it may be a very fruitful, productive, and a very blessed trip for God's glory, for the salvation of souls, and for the edification of God's people. We are in our Church Truth series number 4, Setting Things in Order. Elders, again on leadership issues, dare to be shepherds. Now, that title seems to be a little strong, don't you think so? Elders dare to be shepherds. And I'm using that title just to bring out the force of the imperative of verb in 1 Peter 5, verse 2. It is not in the negative tone of fire if you dare kind of thing, you know. It is to bring out the force of what Peter is commanding his fellow elders to do. I hope and pray that our exposition of this passage will be fruitful, and it will be challenging, encouraging, and motivating to us. So first, we will read it, and Bible exposition, as you know, is my passion, and I always pray that the Lord may help me to do it with hermeneutical and exegetical integrity and with expositional accuracy. So I have prayed for that, and I know you have prayed, and but just continue to pray that the Lord may bless this passage to us in a profound way. I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, and reading from the New King James Translation. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, that is the imperative force of the word, or be shepherds. That is why we use that title, Elders Dare to Be Shepherds. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for this encouraging and motivating exhortation from your apostle, Peter, to Christian leaders, to elders, and all those who have leadership responsibilities. Pray that as many of us, as we listen to this message, that none of us may think that I am not an elder, I am not a leader, and it is not applicable to me. But we pray that the golden nuggets and truths that are applicable to all of us in this passage may become meaningful and relevant. Speak to our hearts, glorify thy name. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Peter begins with a statement that he is an elder. He is not writing this in the capacity, he is not making this exhortation in the capacity of an apostle. That would put him on a high pedestal than his fellow elders. So he is writing as a fellow elder to the other elders serving the Lord along with him. So to the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder. So he is humbling himself. He is identifying with his fellow elders. He is the apostle. He is an apostle. He is one of the great leaders of the church. He has unique abilities and a profound place in the history of the church. But he sets that aside because he is talking about the local assembly, government administration, and leadership responsibilities. So the first truth he highlights is that I am a fellow elder. So he is reminding his fellow elders that biblical eldership is a teamwork. It is plural, but it is not simply on the basis of the number. If there are six elders and if they are fighting all the time, that will not reflect biblical leadership, as we find in some assemblies. But Peter is saying that the plurality of eldership should function as a team. So we should consider as fellow workers and fellow participants and fellow supporters. And that is good, not only for elders, that is good for any ministry, that we should consider one another and we should see our ministry together as a team. So once it is a team, not only the plurality, but the biblical eldership is a teamwork. So that means there should be mutual encouragement and prayer, consultation, recognition, mutual respect, and unity, and no superiority or inferiority or complex, and also the freedom to correct one another when somebody is offline. Don't try to be politically correct. You know, try to be correct and honest to the word of God. And when there is correction and counsel needed, we must be able to render that also. Then only it will be a genuine teamwork. So, the elders who are among you, I exhort, who am a fellow elder, and I am a witness of the sufferings of Christ. He witnessed the crucifixion of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. That is a reminiscence, a recollection of that wonderful experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. He did not take part in the glory that was manifested on the Mount of Transfiguration, but he witnessed that. And he is saying, but one day I will also take part in that glory which I witnessed on the day of, on the Mount of Transfiguration, along with John and James and with our blessed Savior. But when the Lord Jesus will come back, I will also partake in that glory that will be revealed. On that day, he did not. So that also tells his honesty. Am I right? See, sometimes when God gives us great experiences or great moments in our life and great victories, we want to exaggerate it, you know. And we want to say, I did that, we did this, and that was so, you know, we add many things to it. But Peter is clarifying that, you know, I witnessed the suffering of Christ, Garden of Gethsemane, and also on the cross of Calvary. And I also witnessed the experience, the dazzling splendor of the glory coming and covering of our blessed Savior. But I did not partake in that. But one day, I'm looking forward to partake in that glory that will be revealed. And what is my message to you, fellow elders? So he is taking a Bible study on biblical shepherdology to his fellow elders. Elders Seminar by Apostle Peter, who is writing and teaching and conducting the seminar like a fellow elder to encourage. What a beautiful picture is that, working as a teamwork and encouraging one another. Now, concerning the teamwork, I would like to draw your attention to another verse in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. Paul writes to Timothy, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership or presbytery." You know, presbytery or eldership. It can also be translated as elderhood, you know. And so that again highlights the truth of the teamwork. Multiple elders, plurality of elders, but they all work together in unity and in harmony as a team. That is why it is one word, elders, but eldership, body of elders, some translation, council of elders, or elderhood, presbytery. It is one word. So the one word shows the unity and the harmony and the mutual recognition and the respect they have to one another and their willingness to work as a team. So plurality should demonstrate unity and also a teamwork. That's a very important truth. Now, we always emphasize plurality, but I seldom hear the emphasis on other related truths that are related to the concept of plurality. So Peter writes that, you know, it is in that sense he is writing. I'm a fellow elder, we are working as a team, and verse 2, and it is a verb, you know, in the imperative mode. So he's describing the primary duty of the elders, a job description. What is that? NIV puts it, be shepherds, to bring out the force, the imperative force of the verb. Most other translations, shepherd the flock of God, or be shepherds. So that is the primary duty he's highlighting. That is, you are called to be, as elders, you are called to be shepherds of the people of God. And the most important thing here is that, for us to remember, the imagery of a shepherd is the most widely used metaphor, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, or in the Holy Scriptures, as the symbol of leadership. Spiritual leadership, when it comes to spiritual leadership, even in the Old Testament of prophets and priests, the imagery, the metaphor used there is always of the shepherd. And even concerning David, the king, David shepherded the people of God. You know? So all the divinely assigned ministries in the Old Testament also came under the imagery, presented under the imagery and metaphor of shepherding. And all our ministries, whether it is Sunday school, sisters ministry, youth ministry, you know, the biblical metaphor is always any ministry which we do and the leadership role we take, that our attitude and our actions and our mission and ministry should be that of a shepherd. Now, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, that was his favorite metaphor for his own ministry as the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep, as the great shepherd who is leading his people, and as the chief shepherd who will come back. So again, you know, This is something very important for the Lord. Servant leadership, shepherd leadership. So what does a shepherd do? The primary responsibility of a shepherd is to feed. So that is the force. Shepherd means you give them balanced and healthy, nutritious food. That is the primary responsibility of elders. It's not my opinion. That's what Peter is saying. That is, even though many of us may share the responsibility of the ministry of the Word of God, the ultimate responsibility to make sure that the sheep are fed properly with the best food, that is the responsibility of the elders. They need to oversee that. They need to make sure that the people of God are fed with the right food, the right word. And they themselves should take initiative and also recruit the help of others who can ably do it to shepherd the people of God. Now, that may be a little different from the practice in many assemblies, you know, but I'm very convinced of it, that that is the primary responsibility of the elders, to make sure that we get a good share of the word of God for our spiritual health, even though they themselves may not be doing, but they themselves have a responsibility to take more initiative in that. Because shepherd the flock of God is a command given to elders. Now, I want to clarify something, because many a times we think that all of us are called to ministry. There is no clergy-lady distinction in the New Testament. We all know that. So, sisters can shepherd other sisters. Parents are the shepherds for the children. You know, even if you are not a recognized elder, if you have a shepherd heart, you have a ministry. There is no doubt about it. So, we all shepherd one another, and we have to. There is no question about that. I am not belittling the importance of it. But listen to me. In the word of God, the command to shepherd is given only to elders. The other one, what we normally say, oh, everybody can shepherd. That is true. But the command in the word of God, in the inspired word of God, the command is given to the body of elders and not to believers in general, even though we all can be involved in various ministries. So that is the force. And that is why Peter is bringing it out, that with a strong, imperatival force, he shepherd the flock of God. And you may wonder, from where did Peter get this idea? Come with me to John's Gospel, chapter 21, where Lord Jesus restores Peter. John 21, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." So Peter, from where did you get this idea? From Dallas Theological Seminary? No, I got it from my Lord and Savior, that my responsibility as a leader among God's people, as an apostle, as a pastor, as an elder, is the Lord told him, "Feed my lambs, give them food." That is the most important thing. Now, look at verse 16, you know, the last part, the conversation continues. He said to him, the Lord said to him, "Tend my sheep." I think in KJV, it is the three times the verb feed is used. But in many translations, in verse 16, the verb is changed, because in the original text, it is a different verb. It is related to the duty of a shepherd. That is, tend the sheep. Do everything a shepherd would do for his sheep. That is what T-E-N-D-I-N-G, tending. Do all the work of a shepherd. So that is more of a comprehensive term the Lord used in verse 16. Then in verse 17, the Lord again used the Greek word bosko, that is, feed my sheep. So three times the Lord told him, Peter, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep. So Peter got this idea from the Lord Jesus Christ on that day when he was restored. And he is echoing the same truth to his fellow elders. So what we should teach one another is what the Lord teaches us from his word. Not human opinions, not traditions, what somebody has done. You know, even people are very proud of assembly traditions, you know. But we should not be slavish and follow just traditions. We should be teaching one another what the Lord has taught us through the word of God. Then it brings authority. Then God's blessing also is upon such ministries. And for that, we don't have to be afraid because we carry the authority of the word of God. You can be fair, balanced, and unafraid because it is the truth of God's word. So Peter got it. Then let us see what Paul has to say to the fellow elders. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. So Peter said it. First Jesus said it. Then Peter said it. Then Acts chapter 20. We will begin at verse 17. Paul's farewell address to the Ephesian elders. Verse 17. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. Presbyteroi, the elders, plurality, elders as a teamwork. Then come to verse 28. Paul continues his farewell address to the elders. Therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Another term for elders, episcopoi, overseers. That is, they oversee. Doesn't mean that they do everything. They make sure that everything goes in order. They oversee. They supervise. Overseers. You know? So the word elders shows their maturity and their experience. It comes from the Jewish synagogue terminology. And episcopoi come from the Greek terminology. And then the Holy Spirit has made you overseers or bishops, as in some translations, the Latin word, and to shepherd the church of God. So he called the elders and he told them the Holy Spirit has made these elders overseers for what? To shepherd, to be pastors. So elders, overseers, pastors are synonymously used in the scriptures. So look with me again to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, the elders, presbyteroi. Verse 2, be pastors, shepherd the flock. Look at verse 2 again, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as episcopoi. I think, are you clear? It is clear. It is clear in the word of God. Elders, overseers, and their responsibility is to pastor, to shepherd the people of God. And shepherding is a spiritual gift, that is the gift of pastoring. We know that in denominations and in Christendom today, you know, they have twisted the meaning of it and do it in a and use it in a different way. For a kind of an office and a kind of superior position in the church, and sometimes as a one-man kind of ministry. But in the word of God, it is interchangeably used to the team of spiritually gifted and spiritually minded qualified people whom the Holy Spirit calls and appoints over his church. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you. And what shall you do? You serve them. It is a service. We know that everywhere in the New Testament, the word of God teaches servanthood leadership. Serve them as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, filthy lucre, as in KJV, but eagerly. Now, it is not by compulsion, not because somebody asked you to become a leader or an elder, because somebody twisted your hand, because there was a sudden need, somebody should be elder. No. Peter is saying those are the need. Those are not the reasons for anybody to be in that position. Serving as overseer, not by compulsion, but willingly, voluntarily, not for any selfish gain, name or fame or material gain, but eagerly, or with eagerness, I believe that is how in KJV, with eagerness. It can also be translated as zealously. There should be an excitement. That is the meaning of the word. There should be a zeal. There should be an excitement in serving God and in serving people. And that is by way of application, it is true of any service in the church. Not by compulsion, not grudgingly, not unenthusiastically, but eagerly, eagerly leading and feeding. Now, again, highlighting the imagery of the shepherd not only feeds, the shepherd also leads. Feeding and leading and guiding and protecting and healing and caring. So that is the meaning of tending, all the duties of a shepherd. But the primary responsibility, feed my lambs. So shepherds are to lead. Shepherds are to feed. Shepherds are to care. Shepherds are to protect. And shepherds are to guide and direct. So it is all those ideas are included in the word shepherd, the flock of God. Verse 3, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, not with the domineering spirit like Diotrephes in the epistle of 3 John, but as a humble servant of God. I like that particular word, entrusted to you. The flock of God that is among you and that is entrusted to you, that is committed to your care. Entrusted, committed to your care, or it can also be translated as allotted to your care. The flock of God in a local assembly, Peter tells, they are allotted to or entrusted to or committed to your care. KJV translates it as God's heritage. The God's heritage is given to you to protect, to preserve, to lead, and to guide. What a wonderful truth is that. And we learn our spiritual leadership principles from the word of God. You know? And that is our primary curriculum. Others have written about it and expanded these ideas and made it more relevant to us. Praise God for all such scholars and theologians and writings. But the basic truth comes from the word of God. Paul's farewell address to the Ephesian elder, Acts chapter 20. Jesus' conversation at the time of restoration of Peter in John's Gospel chapter 21. And a very prime example of the truth of biblical shepherdology. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. About the plurality, about teamwork, about not domineering, about serving, and about shepherding and feeding. And also knowing that they are allotted to our care and doing it eagerly, zealously. Verse 4, last part of verse 3, but being examples to the flock. It is a present participle, so becoming examples. That is a daily exercise. You know that I cannot take satisfaction in the fact that I have been examples to you in the years past. That's not what Peter is saying. Present participle, you know. Genomenoi, becoming example. You continue to become. Praise God, if you were an example in the past, yesterday, last week. But Lord, our prayer should be that, our calling is that we should be continue to be examples Becoming example, the verb indicates a conscious and deliberate effort to becoming worthy examples. And that is one of the reasons the qualities and qualifications of leaders also are given. That those qualities and qualifications are necessary for all of us. You know, if an assembly does not have people, believers with that kind of qualification, how will we recognize an elder from among the people of God? So it is expected of all of us. But there may be the difference, and the weight of the exhortation is that those who are elders, they should exemplify that so that other believers can follow that example. Tupos, example, that is the word, the pattern, the word used for the tabernacle. That is, Moses, I will show you the pattern on the mountain. Not simply an example, the pattern. So the elders are called to be the pattern. And all these ministries, nobody is paying them. You know, many a times they have to receive criticism, misunderstanding, because it is a very responsible ministry. But Peter is saying that even though nobody rewards you here, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, so the elders are the under shepherds. The chief shepherd is our Lord Jesus Christ. He will appear. And they are serving as under shepherds under the chief shepherd. They are the one who has called them, and the Holy Spirit has appointed them, and they are all the flock of God whom the Holy Spirit purchased with the God the Father purchased with the blood of his own Son. And when they serve the Lord under the chief shepherd, following these scriptural guidelines, they may not be, they are not perfect. That is not what is expected, that you should be perfect. It is talking about their spiritual discernment, responsible, accountable, mature, discerning spiritual leadership. It is not about perfection. And when you do that, what an encouragement. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Crown of glory in the Greek text, if you parse it, a crown that consists of glory. You know, in the Word of God, at least five crowns are mentioned, symbolic of the rewards we will receive. Here, the rewards for faithfully serving God's flock, particularly the elders, they will receive the crown of glory. And the crown that consists of glory. And this crown will not be, it will not fade away. Now, when Peter wrote this, and also in Paul's epistles, we can read that the word here is Stephanos, victor's crown, not diadema, that is the royal crown. So the two words are used in the New Testament. One is the royal crown or the king's crown. The other one is the victor's crown. So the rewards are related to the victor's crown, the Stephanos, not the imperial crown, diadema. So in the ancient world, especially in the Greek and the Roman world, for athletic competitions and other rewarding, they were given garlands or wreaths made of perishable materials like oak and olive, myrtle leaves and ivy and flowers like that. That will fade away. That is the imagery. When you get it, it looks nice, but after a while, it will fade away. But the Lord, the chief shepherd, when he appears, he will give you a crown of glory that will never fade away. The word fade away is an interesting word, amarantinon, because in the Greek mythology, there was a plant and a flower called amaranth, and that symbolized the immortality. Now, the unfading quality of immortality. So, what Peter uses here is a term that became very popular in Greek literature, borrowed from the Greek mythology of the material of a flower that is, that will never fade away. It is symbolic of immortality, will never use its beauty, lose its beauty, worth or attractiveness throughout immortally for ages to come. According to mythology, it will be shining with the splendor of the gods and goddesses. So then it became, the word became a word in the vocabulary in the Greek language. That is the word Peter is using. That is, this will never, nothing to do with Greek mythology, but the idea is that this will never fade away. So I hope and pray that the Lord may really bless all of us, our elders, and those who would be elders in the future, and many of us who are sharing various responsibilities. It tells us about how to serve the Lord. What are the basic principles in relation to that? Now, before looking at the five crowns, very quickly, I want to just summarize the distinctives of biblical eldership in these four verses. Number one, it's a very heavy passage, even though we, you know, quickly went through a brief exposition of it. There are 10 very important truths related to biblical eldership. Biblical eldership is a plural eldership, and that is elders among you. But at the same time, it is also a teamwork. Biblical eldership is pastoral, shepherding eldership. That is why the command is given, shepherd the flock of God. Biblical eldership also is oversight eldership. That is why they are called overseers. Biblical eldership is willing and voluntary service, not by compulsion, but willingly. Biblical eldership is absolutely free from greed and material selfish gain. Biblical eldership is a zealous work, eagerly or zealously. Biblical eldership has no place for domineering and heavy-handed use of authority. Number 8, biblical eldership demands modeling, becoming a type. The elders should be models, examples, or types whom the people can follow. Biblical eldership consists of faithful under-shepherds under the Lord Jesus Christ. And biblical eldership has eternal rewards. Then we will look at the next slide also, if you are interested. All of us, many of us know that, about the five crowns in the Word of God. The crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy 4:8, for those who wait for His appearing, those who love His appearing. The imperishable crown for faithfully running the race with discipline and diligence in 1 Corinthians 9, 24-25. The crown of rejoicing for soul winners. The crown of life in the book of James chapter 1 verse 12, who endures affliction and trials and persecution. And the crown of glory for God's servants, shepherds, elders, who faithfully serve the Lord. So that is what this passage teaches us. And also I want to say that our Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. So if there is anyone here who does not know the Lord Jesus as the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, and he is the Savior. And once he becomes your Savior, once you are born again into the family of God, the Lord calls you to serve Him. And what we have been studying are related to the principles of serving the Lord with integrity of heart and with skillfulness of hands. Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank You and praise You for this precious time given to us to meditate Your word. Pray that what we have studied from 1 Peter chapter 5 may motivate, more challenge and encourage and correct and help us to go forward in our ministries with the diligence and discipline, doing our utmost for our Lord, His highest. We thank You for the various opportunities for us to study Your word, to discuss it, and to exemplify the principles of your word by modeling it in our own life. We know that we have failures in several areas. None of us are perfect. We ask your pardon and forgiveness and help us to work together as a team in glorifying our Lord and helping the people of God, edifying the body of Christ. Thank you for this precious time. Bless the word to us. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.